在乎那几个问题，在乎这
块。
棒棒棒，
这个
棒棒棒，
exactly. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends. We're Christine Marie and Julie. We're Certified Love Attraction Coaches and so much more.
Yes, we are. Around here, they call me Mama.
They call me Daughter. That's right. And today we got a big show for you today. For the first half hour, Christine and I are talking about everything and anything. And we got a couple of things. I just saw the movie Oblivion with Tom Cruise. And I kind of had a situation happen in the theater. I was with my guy and kind of had a couple of situations come up that I had to really dig deep for my well-being, as Mom wants to say.
Dig deep, girlfriend.
I had to drop that bucket way down deep into my well to bring up my well-being. And then the last half hour, we have this wonderful woman, Joanna Poppink, and she has written this great book called Healing Your Hungry Heart, Recovering from Your Eating Disorder, Stories, Meditations, Exercises, and health and for health and freedom. And I love that. And
she's a MFT.
Yeah.
Where I have my MA in counseling and psychology, she's got her master's in family therapy. She's going to be talking to us about mother-daughter relationships. Mother's Day's kind of coming around the corner, so we've agreed to lay it all on the line for her, and we're going to get raw, right?
We're going to get raw because we thought, hey, what a great thing to do for Mother's Day is to talk about really good guidelines for having a healthy mother-daughter relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say that they can be, that the guidelines for one mother-daughter may not be the same for the guidelines of another mother-daughter. I don't know. And I would... Because you only have one daughter, you don't have two. You have a daughter and a son. But I know that you have two successful relationships with your kids, but they're different relationships.
Right.
And we'll talk more about this. But I was watching, I was up late early this morning, and Dr. Phil had on sibling rivalry for adults. Mm-hmm. And it was two girls. And one of the daughter's problem was, as adults, was that the other daughter, the other twin, had a fabulous relationship with the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt she didn't. And I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
And so I thought to myself, the truth is, they're probably good, they're just different. And how can we deal with that? So I'm curious on her guidelines and her take, and it's going to be a fun half hour.
Yeah. And, you know, Dr. Phil, like, how's that working for you?
I know.
So I'm curious. So let's get back to your review on the Tom Cruise movie Oblivion. However, I want to talk about some theater etiquette.
Yes.
What you encountered today was nasty. Just nasty.
It was.
Kind of like when your shoe gets stuck to the milk duds on the floor. That's kind of nasty.
Okay, well, first off, I will have to say this. I went into the bathroom afterward because you have a big drink there and so forth. And I'm realizing that the floor is all wet everywhere. And I'm thinking, please, dear God, let it be just because they washed the floor. And I was the lucky one that came in right afterward. And I don't know about the ladies out there. I know men don't have a problem with this, most likely, but I don't like it when I have to go to a bathroom and there's no hook for my purse.
Mm-hmm.
And so there wasn't. So I had to put the purse around the neck and I'm maneuvering everything and the floor is kind of wet. And I'm just saying, you know what, just get in, get out, Julie. Just get in and get out.
Can I say something now?
Yeah.
Okay, that's an invention. This has got to be a billion-dollar invention.
Billion-dollar, you know, anybody about bathrooms? Yeah.
Something to put, okay, rather than put it around your neck, you know, can we think of some invention that doesn't have to put it around your neck? But, you know, they do say that the bottom of your purse is the, can I say the word, nastiest place again? I mean, it's filled with bacteria and germs. And
unfortunately, sometimes, because last weekend we had on a wonderful woman who talked about, you know, having a very clean environmental, clean house for yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
Beth Greer. Yeah.
Yes, and Sometimes I find my purse on the kitchen counter, which I know is a big no-no.
Yeah.
And so I've been more conscious about that lately, and also taking my shoes off before I enter my house. So now that's a big no-no, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was not the etiquette that I wanted to talk about.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
Go ahead. And
no, you're not
interrupting. You do the theater etiquette.
So I'm walking in with my guy, and we love going in the middle of the day. It's quiet, and we love these three seats because they're in the back, and they're secluded, and it's kind of nice and so forth. But so here is the theater now. They have the previews that run 15 minutes before the movie starts, and then they have these things that are previews to previews where the lights are up, and it gives you trivia for movies and TV, and it's basically lots of commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. For different cars and music. I think mm-hmm. I saw something from Michael Bublé.
Mm-hmm.
And this new TV show called Brain Games on the Learning Channel or Discovery or TLC, who knows. But they had a game, a brain game, and it was this great game where it's a totally black or dark blue background, and you had these lighter color dots flashing everywhere. And then you had four footballs in a square, and you're supposed to focus on one corner with one football and do it long enough, and the rest of the footballs disappear. So I walk in and I say, hey, babe, look, I love this game. This is awesome. And I got a shh, a big shh from the people in there. And this was 20 minutes before the show was going to start.
Yeah. The lights are still up,
the
right?
The lights are still up.
Yeah.
The previews haven't even begun.
Mm-hmm.
This is like previews to previews. And I was like, really? Really? You're going to shush me during... I have to be quiet a half hour before the movie starts?
You have to be quiet during the brain game?
Yes. I mean, come on.
I mean, that's audience participation, I'm sure.
And there was literally five people in the audience
mm-hmm.
for Oblivion, which mm-hmm. I'll tell my preview. But so what did you think, girlfriend, when I told you that story? Mm-hmm. Did you think I was being rude, or did you think she
no.
was just being a little too...
I think she... So for some reason, I just think she didn't like you, Julie.
Energetically.
Somehow you got under her nerve. Well, you got on her last nerve.
Right. Or, I mean, she was in the last row with yes. her guy, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Was she?
They were in there. It's so hard to guess people's ages. I don't even try anymore. But
mm-hmm.
if I was going to pick an age, I would say late 60s, early 70s to mid 70s.
Hmm.
Well, they weren't in their 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And 60 looks different now to me,
mm-hmm.
you know. But they had both lots of gray hair
mm-hmm.
and all natural.
Well, they could have been having blood sugar issues.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think that in terms of theater etiquette, I think that was inappropriate for her to shush you.
And I don't have
Again,
to be quiet.
Lights are on in
yeah.
the house. You know,
if lights are on, I can talk.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know, because I really want to be able to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
I'm giving you, if I were on Facebook, I'd say, I'd like what you did, and she was wrong. I'd give her that thumbs down. So.
Okay, great. Thumbs yeah. down. Good. Thank you. I appreciate that. And from my mother, that's even a special validation.
Because yes, I'm so totally non-biased with
that's
you.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. And I just, you know, I just dug down deep, and I said, this is not going to affect me already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
mm-hmm.
really, really? And then as I went out to get popcorn,
mm-hmm.
You know, she gave me this look, this dirty look. I'm like, really? I don't get it. What
mm-hmm.
have I done to offend you so?
Yeah.
So all I can think of is that she was hoping to have the whole theater to herself,
mm-hmm.
and she had to share it with me.
Yeah. And I'm so glad it didn't really bother you, that it just over and done with. You don't need to make it a topic for your radio show.
Exactly. Exactly. So here is my 1 minute or less than 1 minute review in Oblivion.
Okay.
Okay, not non-biased, but I do adore Tom Cruise. So given that, it's probably a grade higher than someone who doesn't adore Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
I would give it an A-.
Okay.
I really like this movie.
Yeah.
Not giving any of the secrets away, because there's always those secrets and the twists and turns of the plot. But going in, I was hearing some reviews saying how beautiful it was, the scenery and
mm-hmm.
the way it was filmed. And if you could, see it in an IMAX. And I agree with that, because
wow.
there were shots in there that were so expansive that I think if you saw it through an IMAX, you would just be like, whoa. Because
mm-hmm.
a couple of times, my stomach actually, you know, there's
oh, really?
Shots where you're going down
yeah.
because he's flying and all mm-hmm. that stuff. And I almost lost my little guts there, you
mm-hmm.
know, that little feeling came through.
Mm-hmm. So Okay, I know nothing about this movie, okay? So, in two sentences, what does Oblivion mean to you? What was...
I have no idea the connection to the movie.
No, you... he was shot to oblivion.
I know. Well, yes. I really don't know.
Okay.
It's just a cool name, I guess. Okay. I'm trying to think if there was really any connection, because I was searching my brain for this, and I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But in a nutshell, it's Earth after it was attacked by aliens,
mm-hmm.
and Tom Cruise and his female partner live in a real cool space, real cool place on Earth that hovers above the sky,
mm-hmm.
and his job is just to check things out, make sure things are okay,
mm-hmm.
and it was beautiful, it was a great story, I cried a couple times, I thought it was just sweet,
mm.
I really enjoyed it.
Wow.
Doug said it was a little bit slow in some parts.
Mm-hmm.
I'll agree with that.
Mm-hmm. But beautiful, huh?
But beautiful.
Really?
Very beautiful. I was like, this
I have
is
to
really
tell
gorgeous.
You didn't give anything away, because I still do.
Have no
not
idea.
Have, I have not a clue.
Okay.
Not a clue.
Okay.
But it was visually beautiful.
Yeah.
So, okay, before, I know we want to talk about our festival days coming up. I want to talk about you talked about theater etiquette. I want to talk about park etiquette today. So here's my little story.
Okay.
So your father and I are at the river, lazy day, Sunday, So we're in our van and we back up, so we can face the river. We open the back doors. And so I'm laying on the bed, we've got the seat down and I'm laying on my stomach. So I got the picture of the river, which is really high, and because we've had a lot of floods here, but it's the river. It's peaceful. It's, perfect mm-hmm. Sunday. Norm gets out of his little chair, and he's facing me, and we take the dog out. Molly's on a leash, and she's just walking around. And we've got our crossword puzzle. Just sweet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's this old couple. I'm saying, like you, I wonder if it was the same couple. It could have been late 60s. I bet it was, gray hair and everything. And so they walk in front of us, they're looking at the river. Fine, I'm not connecting, whatever. And they turn, and, and here's the thing. It's kind of, if it was me, I wouldn't bother this couple, meaning me and Dad, right? We've got the van backed up, the doors are open, I'm laying on the bed, he's got a chair, right inside, we've got the crossword, we've got the dog. It's like a little intimate scene.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that says, hey, come and talk to us, we're, open for business. It really does not give off that vibe at all. So I see this old couple start walking toward us.
Okay.
Closer and closer. And I'm like, under my breath, I'm going, oh, no, Norm. And Molly, the dog starts barking. And they look like, oh, my God, your dog is so rude or whatever. And inside I'm going, yay, But, first of all, Norm goes, oh, you probably need to leave her alone because she's a nervous dog. She doesn't, you'll spook her. And then they go like this, like, well, I guess we're just going to have to leave you alone then, aren't we? Under my breath, I'm going, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And, to me, that is not, park etiquette.
Yeah.
If you have a couple with a dog and, we're doing crossword puzzles, everything suggests, kind of like, I wouldn't mind a hi, I wouldn't mind a Paul Harvey salute,
exactly.
Or just something. But no, don't come into our space, our
right.
area.
Right.
And especially if we have a dog that, you think all dogs are friendly,
right.
that's just crazy. So
well, and also
for
too,
me,
our dog is an old dog. And she doesn't see very well.
Mm-mm.
And that's really the reason why she's so nervous. And she doesn't like strangers. She's like, just leave me alone, people. Mm-hmm. I'm not as cute as I look.
I'm just tired.
I'm just
going to be in the river.
Exactly.
Enjoying the Sunday.
Exactly.
I want to smell some stuff, some different stuff.
Exactly.
And she would have. So I'm gonna ask, in your opinion, was their etiquette appropriate? Etiquette?
I think it was I think I wouldn't have bothered you.
No.
Because I know that most of the time I don't want to be bothered either. I just want a little peace in nature.
Right.
You know? But I do know that there's people out there that just want to connect and enjoy and live the vagabond lifestyle.
Right.
And just enjoy.
Yeah. And here's the thing, though. And I understand that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my lips to God's ears. I understand that. And if I was open to that vibe at that moment, you know, there are signals. You could read the face, the smile, the body language, you know. But we you know, truthfully, we were not giving off that vibe at all.
No,
I mean,
no.
It wasn't.
This is why I think people aren't picking up on emotional or on cues well
yeah,
enough anymore.
Really?
I was in this one radio show, and this guy was talking about the housewives of California or
which one?
Beverly Hills.
Oh, okay.
And he goes, you know, really, I think the reason why everyone's just so ticked at each other
mm-hmm.
and they feel like they don't get any support is because none of them can use their facial features.
I believe it.
And I thought,
nobody knows, like, I'm surprised, I'm angry,
I'm really happy.
I'm
concerned. I'm more than just look like indifferent.
Right.
I'm just indifferent about your problems or
mm-hmm.
your successes
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people don't pick, now I'm not saying, I know that you were, you, but I think people don't, people aren't looking for cues, they're not
mm-hmm.
picking up on cues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that couple was not picking up on a cue because I know that your van, you didn't have your doors way open. You had them, like, half open so that you are protected from all sides, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I did a little
mm-hmm.
opening
mm-hmm.
for Dad and you to do your crosser and Sudoku and, you know, keep Molly on a little short leash. So,
okay, now you're just, but truly, though, Jill, that we, I mean, I didn't think it'd take, you know, rocket science to say, this vibe is, hey, just, you know, friendly hi. We had said a friendly hello when we first saw him, you know, but we didn't linger. There was no indication. So people just aren't picking up the proper cues.
I think they're not picking up the proper cues. And I really, you and I both work with energy a lot. We work with our own energy and we work with the energy around us. And I think people aren't used to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're not used to picking up cues.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just saying, hey, everybody wants to talk to me. I want to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like, dude, I just want to mm-hmm. come and do a puzzle.
You know, and it kind of breaks your heart because, I mean, you know, a nice older couple, certainly they were nice.
Yes.
You know, and maybe they don't get out, you know, shoe on the other foot. Maybe you don't get out much. This might have been,
right.
You know.
Are you feeling guilty?
Now I'm starting to feel guilty.
Well, okay.
Dang.
Yes. Here's what I know. They found somebody else that was a match.
Yes, they did.
And that, I'm sure they did. And
yes.
That, because that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the cue, too. I mean, we don't always have to be open. You're able to say, hey,
mm-hmm.
I'm claiming this time for me and my hubby.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about that a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to have that time without interruptions from somebody else. And then they have to be respectful. And then they get to go and they get to find another couple who's totally open to sharing their time.
Right. Right.
And that's the key.
Yeah.
We get to find, I mean, we talk about law of attraction and we talk about intention, and we get to find our match. That's what it's all about.
Get into alignment with
yes.
the right people.
Yes, so do not feel guilty.
Yeah.
Because they probably found somebody who would have loved to just chit-chat
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
talk and who had a very friendly dog.
Yeah. Well, and also, there's a thing that, you know, I'm laying on the bed and back,
yeah.
you know, or the, you know, the folded down seat. And so I'm on my stomach,
mm-hmm.
and it's you know, it's not a very flattering, you know, my boobies are like, you know, really,
yeah, I know.
You know, like, it's just, it's, you know, I'm trying to cover up, and, you know, it's just not that,
right.
You know, just, you know, I'm not happy. I'm not happy camper to have you come into my 6 feet around me space, my
yeah.
personal space.
Exactly.
Don't do that, please.
Well, you know, but you have a way of being attractive energetically to other
things. I know.
Remember that one time that you were at the park and this big, huge dog, like a Marmaduke dog,
yeah.
just literally jumped into your van?
Yeah,
and
I do. I have that kind of energy. People just
yeah.
want to be around me.
There you go.
And he's a big Marmaduke. And then he just, like, he
idea.
Just came in, you know, he came in and he just laid across my body.
Yeah.
He's like, this is good. And so I'm like going, okay, you know,
anybody looking for a dog?
I had, like, slobber all over me. It was cute, though.
Yeah, and the owner did finally come.
Yes.
And did not say a word.
Did not say a word, just said, Marmaduke, get out of that van now.
All right,
I will.
Yeah, that's so funny. I love it. Luckily, he didn't try to bite the owner or anything like that.
No.
Or you would just be like, I guess he's staying with me.
Yeah.
I guess he wins.
I'd bite the owner. I just got to learn to bark. Like, get away from me.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Closing your energy field.
Yes, that's
like,
exactly right.
I'm not open for business right now.
If I had a tail, it'd be cover my... You know.
Exactly. Yes.
Can I say a-hole on the radio?
I don't know. A, blank, blank, blank. A, then like a good pause.
Right.
Hole.
That's right.
No connection whatsoever.
Who knows? Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about, because our book is coming out. It's already out, but we're celebrating and having our big launch day. May 21st is a big launch day, but we're starting off. It's called The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life.
That's the name of the book.
Yes.
And may I say, it is already an Amazon bestseller.
Woohoo!
Formally launched, but
yes.
Yay, that's kind of awesome. You know, we're not kicking that out of bed.
No. And what we're doing to celebrate with all of our lovelies out there is we're having a big festival day. We're calling it Festival Days, the Clutterfly Effect Festival Days. And we're starting off on the 17th.
May 17th through the 21st.
Yes.
Clutterfly Effect Festival Days. Hey, Julie, what are we doing on May 17th?
May 17th, we start off with an Amp It Up. And if you've never had an Amp It Up with us, really it's 20 minutes to 30 minutes of us connecting through the phone lines, the computer, through a teleseminar. And we take you on this journey to this field of pure potentiality.
Mm-hmm.
And in that point, we use the group energy to really land our intentions. And we do this through a deep, relaxed state. And we do this through connecting with this powerful group energy. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful process to land our intentions.
Yes. We go to that, you know, Deepak Chopra calls it the field of pure potentiality, field of all possibility, and it's where you plant your seed.
Yes.
You know, you go to that.
It's the beginning of all manifestations.
Yes.
It's the beginning of all manifestations. And when you lock in that energy with a group, miracles begin to happen really fast.
And, you know, we've been doing this for, many, many years with our group, but the intention, that energy is so powerful. And so we're hoping that we're going to get a lot of new people who have, heard about the book and all that stuff and are going to come join us. So get to experience and amp it up. Amp it up. And then, Julie, after they do that on Clutterfly Effect Festival Days, what's going to happen on May 18th?
May 18th and May 19th. We call it the Clutterfly Effect Weekend. And what that does, we call it Clearing the Clutter Weekend, really. Clearing the Clutter. We've had these before. We love them. We've never done them two in a row and in this kind of setting. And we get together. It's for 3 hours, 9 to noon Central Time.
Mm-hmm.
And we get together at the beginning of every hour for 5 to 10 minutes. And we set the intention, and we do a little clearing of an energetic clutter or emotional clutter.
Mm-hmm.
And we get set into our own world, and we clear away physical clutter from our environment.
Yeah. We hang up, and then we go for the next 15 minutes. We clear away physical clutter.
Yes.
Yay. And that's so much fun. It really is.
And so you can
come
for 3 hours.
Again, we've got the group energy.
Yes. You can come for 3 hours or 1 hour, and we have the group energy, which is so powerful.
Mm-hmm. So let's say you start out at 9. Julie and I will talk. She talks about, again, setting an intention. Hello. We are, you know, if we're nothing, we're about intention.
Mm.
How powerful is that? So we're going to talk about that for 10 minutes or so, and then we're going to get to work. Some people do their offices. Some people, you know, do a kitchen drawer or something that's kind of crazy.
And what we always get for our testimonials is that how easy it is to do it when you do it in a group and we have like this focused time and people come and connect again and then you move forward and that the 3 hours goes by so fast, but also what you get accomplished. What with my taking you all day takes you 3 hours.
Yeah, and we, and then maybe say at the 10 o'clock hour, we'll do some tapping.
Yes.
You know, EFT work, emotional freedom technique, powerful stuff.
Some breathing, possibly, some breathing exercises.
Breathing. We do a prosperity breath or two. Again, just keeping the energy high, keeping you guys motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with the power of intention. Then we go hang up and we go back for another 50 minutes or so.
Yes.
We do this to noon our time.
Right. We meet one more time at noon. Mm-hmm. So it ends about 12:10 our time.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can join us next day, awesome.
And that's going to happen on Sunday. Yes. Sunday.
And so then, on Monday, we have a great visualization process. We kind of meet and we kind of set some goals in a visualization process way, and it's going to be fun and light.
Well, we're going to be introducing our drip process.
Yes.
And that's called our deeply relaxed intention process meditation. So people will get to a chance to experience that. And Julie, just tell us in your own words how important it is, and if we're talking transformation and we're talking change, how important the deeply relaxed part of the intention process is.
Well, it's really key to everything, because when you are able to relax, you really are opening yourself up to the possibility of change. And when you're open to change, you're open to healing. And when you're open to healing, you're open to transformation. And you can think of it as, you know, when we, like, hold on to sand and we hold our grip so tight, the sand just kind of eases out or squishes out. You know, you can't hold on to sand tight enough. But if you open your hand and you're holding sand, you can hold a lot of sand in your hand, in your palm,
mm-hmm.
and you're relaxed, though. It's no
mm-hmm.
big deal. And so it's kind of like that when we're so tight, we're not open to change.
Yeah, and let me just add, too, my two cents in terms of the relaxation. It's important to get past the conscious mind. It's important to get past that, because the real change happens beyond that in the subconscious. And you don't just get there unless you're, you know, relaxed and in a meditative state. So we'll be introducing that to our lovelies. And then Tuesday, is the launching of the book.
Yes.
And we'll be, we're going to have probably 20 bonus gifts that other amazing partners are offering. If you buy our book that day, you'll be... just plenty of stuff.
Yeah.
Anything to you can imagine.
And you didn't mention that we're going to be giving away prizes during our weekend as well.
Oops, prizes.
And all because we have been working on this book a long time. We have been strengthening and testing our mother-daughter relationship.
Yes, exactly. And testing it, for sure.
And so go to theclutterflyeffect.com, theclutterflyeffect.com, and sign up right in there, and we'll notify you on where to go for the Clutterfly Effect weekend and the book. But it's going to be exciting and it's fun, and we want to celebrate with our lovelies.
And if you go to theclutterflyeffect.com, I think it's at if you press the media tag, you get to see our little trailer.
Yay!
It's so much fun.
Exactly.
I start out singing, you know.
So you start singing.
I do. In my, you know, a cappella.
Exactly.
We're going to do a mashup in the a cappella.
That's exactly right.
So, we're going to be bringing on our guest author, Joanna Poppig, who we're going to talk about. We're going to lay it all on the line, Julie.
Yes.
Mother-daughter relationships.
Right. And which I think is so interesting, because we just ended up talking about how this book that we wrote together really strengthened and tested and strengthened our bond. And we chose to pick out a lot of good times. I mean, we had a lot of good times in there. And I'm curious how Joanna's going to help us figure out why our relationship works and how we can possibly make it better. And we wanted to bring on Joanna for Mother's Day, because Mother's Day is coming up.
Yes.
And no matter what relationship, where your relationship is at with your mother or your daughter, it can get better. I'm hoping, even if it's a way of defining it differently, so that it's better in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could be a key, too, because I know there's probably daughters that say, you know, I don't really want my mom in my life. That's
mm-hmm.
okay, but maybe you can define it better. And so it's not so
mm-hmm.
hurtful. But I'm going to bring on Joanna right now, and I just want to say, Joanna Poppig, I hope I'm saying your last name correctly. But anyway, she has her master's in family therapy. She is the author of the book Healing Your Hungry Heart, Recovering from Your Eating Disorder, Stories, Meditations, and Exercises for Health and Freedom. She's a wonderful coach, wonderful author. We're our pleasure to have her here. And Joanna, are you here today, sweetie?
I'm right here and delighted
to be
here.
Hey, wonderful. Welcome, Joanna.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to hear the two of you overlap a little bit when you're talking with that laughter. It's just such a lovely sign of a good relationship.
Ah, well, thank you so much. I think that is the one key to our relationship is that in the midst of anything, something could strike a chord with us that makes us laugh.
Absolutely.
And where it might be painful for somebody else, it just is hysterical.
I know. I mean, we laugh till there's tears running down our legs, right, Julie? I don't know.
Yes, and the women know what we're talking about.
I was at a party years ago.
It's so funny
because several people I didn't know.
Oh, you know what, Joanna? You're a little quiet on our end. I apologize. So if we walk over you a little bit, I apologize. But right there, you sounded a little bit better. But you're just a little quiet on our side. Okay, awesome. Thank you. So, Joanna, I know you have a great book, and I know you have some guidelines for a healthy mother-daughter relationship. And as with your master's in family therapy and you're a psychotherapist, can you share with the lovelies, you know, what are some guidelines to have a healthy mother-daughter relationship?
Oh, I've got a long list of them.
Good.
Can we do it in a gradual way and talk about them, or do you want to hear it all?
No, let's start with the first one.
Okay. First one is, as individuals, keep growing and learning.
Good.
As individuals, stay becoming and honoring the authentic person you are that allows you to live a satisfying life. What that means is don't compromise when it comes to being who you truly are. If there's something you want to study, a job you want to have, a relationship that's important to you, a cause you want to fight for, whatever it is, you go for it and get yourself equipped for it. Then, when you have your relationship with your mother or anyone else, or your daughter and anyone else, you're having a relationship that's really honest. Where the people, I mean, relate means from one to the other. You have to have two to relate to one another. So you want each person to be as truly who they are as possible. Because then you relate, you really got something. Nobody's lying. Nobody's holding back.
What you said
there. So bottom line, first step is be who you are. Go for it.
I just want to say, you know, be who you are. Go after your interests. There are so many moms out there that tend to, push back their interests, their growth, for the sake of their family, thinking that they're saving it or their intentions, their focus should only be on their family. And growing up, when my mom went and got her degree and master's degree, we were younger, and it was fun to have her be so excited about her own dreams and her own life, and she brought more to the table. And we were able to talk about that more. And I think sometimes we don't know. I think moms sometimes tend to hold back and saying, you know, let my kids shine. But your kids can shine and you can shine. There's not an all or nothing place here.
When you're a mom, your daughter is learning what a woman is by watching you with a microscope.
Oh.
She's watching you in ways that you don't know. She's learning from you in ways that you don't know. She learns from your tears, and she learns from your laughter, and she learns from your zest for living, or she learns from your depression. You know, this is what a woman is. So when you can bring to your daughter you enjoying your life, you interested in something, you dedicated to something, you passionate about something, she learns that women can be that. And that's not depriving a daughter because you are involved in something that you care about. That's really gifting her if you share your enthusiasm with her.
You know, Joanna, this is Christine here. When I was younger, my mom would always say, I'm so depressed. And I can remember being in high school and, you know, being in the carpool or whatever, and everybody go, well, hey, how you doing this morning? I'm just like, I'm depressed. I didn't even think about it. It was what I had heard so much from my own mother that I and people, they would laugh. They go, well, you're not acting depressed. And I had to really think about it. Wait a minute, I just say this because my mom always says this. I'm depressed.
Right.
So you're absolutely right. We pick it up by osmosis.
So what the mother can do, because sometimes she is depressed, what the mother can do, what the adult can do is say, I'm having a hard time, and I'm dealing with it.
Mm. Yeah, so I'm dealing
with
it.
It's not just an ongoing, open-ended negative.
Right.
It's, I'm having some challenges right now, and so I need to read this book, or I need to go to this meeting.
Right.
You know, I'm having a difficulty, and I'm taking care of myself. That's why I'm talking to this person.
Right.
That's why I'm doing sit-ups. That's why I'm seeing the doctor. That's why, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So your daughter knows that, yes, adults have problems, women have problems, and they also go for the solutions.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's perfect, because so many times I know through my childhood with my mom, because she was becoming a therapist, it wasn't just I'm depressed or I'm struggling. It was, oh, I'm this, let me figure out what's going on so I can move forward. And it was always about figuring on to move forward. And I think sometimes parents don't realize how, moms don't realize how much of an influence they have over their daughters. We always say, oh, their peer group is really the most important thing in their life. And, yeah, that's the peer group's important. I remember being a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, also, too, I felt I was lucky and blessed because I think we were all able to talk about our feelings, which as a youngster growing up in my family, feelings, are you kidding me? It's all about discipline and you better be doing what I tell you to do and all this stuff. And to me, it was a blessing to be able to say, hey, what are you guys feeling right now? What's behind this? Or if you were having, problems with some of your cohorts, Julie, we could talk about that. And it was, it was fodder. It was good. It was good to talk about. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, that kind of communication, of course, is excellent. Mothers and daughters aren't, in your case, your mother is a therapist.
Right.
But she's not your therapist.
Well, that's true, and I can remember there have been times that I'd, say, hey, Julie, might be time to go, see somebody, And, absolutely, I totally agree with that. So, what I'm curious about, and you probably can't, we've always wondered, though, because, Julie, don't you always think that we kind of always had this relationship? I can't remember. There may have been a few bumpy, notes in the relationship, but, always I just have felt this, we've wondered, how did this happen, that this ended up to be so, really a rich blessing, a wonderful thing for us.
Well, let me say some of these guidelines, and then you see where you two fit in.
Yes.
Okay? They're one of them is, understand that you both may and will grow and change as you age, and you're not going to stay even with one another.
Yes.
So the idea is to be patient with each other, and not be competitive, because one may be more advanced in one realm and the other may be more advanced in the other realm, and either of you can fall back or catch up at any time.
Yes.
So you be respectful of yourself and respectful of the other person.
Yes.
How does that fit with the two of you?
Oh, absolutely.
I agree.
And to us too, there's... in my end, at least, there's no, competition. And I really celebrate the differences in us. I call her, sometimes you're my muse, Julie. Sometimes you're the techie girl. But it really is complimentary. And, that's where I'm, how about you, girlfriend?
Well, I think she picked use the word appropriately, competition. And I think in a relationship of mother and daughter, that I think once competition comes in, I think it does take away, if I heard you correctly, it takes away the joy and the respect for each other. And I've never felt in competition with my mom, but I've always been her biggest fan and her biggest cheerleader, and I felt the same way about me, for her, for me.
Mm-hmm.
So you picked out an excellent point about competition, and I know we talk about it being so healthy in some situations, but I think you're very, very right there. It shouldn't be in a mother-daughter relationship.
Okay. Then another one, this is harder to say, is that mother will always be the mother, and daughter will always be the daughter. But the definition of that relationship changes over time.
Mm.
You may be mother, but you're not necessarily mommy.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be daughter, but you're not baby girl. But sometimes you can fall back into those old patterns, and sometimes you want those old patterns. So
I totally agree with
that.
It's
important to
There's
talk
some comfort,
to each other,
you know,
and ask
in,
each other what you want and need, especially when there's some sort of crisis going on.
Right. And that's the fun part, you know, like if she's had a, you know, maybe a bad moment or a bad day, you know, I can just be there as her ear, the support, you know, and just be on her side no matter what, you know.
Yes.
And that's fun. You know, that's fun. It's you know, I sort of think, Julie, we must have been something in a past life because, you know, I adore you as my daughter, mm-hmm. you know, but it just seems so much deeper than that. I don't know.
Well, you know, what's one of the other guidelines, Joanna? Because there are mothers out there right now. I know I have a sister-in-law who has a baby girl and has another baby girl coming, and I would the biggest gift that she could give to herself would be to have a really healthy, great relationship with her daughters. So, what's another guideline that you would share with us?
Well, yes, I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm listening to the two of you, and so I'm thinking about adult mothers and adult daughters. But there are the mothers with their little girls, with their baby girls.
Yeah.
You know, for mothers to know little girls are strong.
Hmm.
You know, don't get into gender divisions with them. Little
right.
girls, and I've seen them, you know, and I've got them in my family. Well, they'll do handstands and play soccer in their princess dress because they didn't have time to change.
Right, yes. I love that look, too. I love that look.
You know, so to just be free and anything that they want to do that's within reason, that they want to explore, you know, let them have it. Don't go into the blue and pink separation zone. But let them have it all and
right.
find out.
Right.
You know, they may be dancers and they're also playing basketball and they're doing gymnastics and they're doing art. And they want to be cuddled and they want to show you what they can do. Because at any age, no matter how old your child is, you have to listen to her.
Mm, yeah.
You listen to the baby. What does she need? Why is she crying? Mm. You listen to her giggles because it's so charming that you just...
Well, I think that's where you're when
the
you
giggles.
Talk about freedom, you know, to give your child that freedom. I know for me, I was at a young age, it was like you were going to grow up to be a secretary. I mean, that was like what my mom and dad thought that was the best thing for me. And I was, mm-hmm. and I, you know, I wanted to be a nun. I didn't. And they went, you're not going to be a nun, you're going to be a secretary. And it was really sort of, you know, in retrospect, it was kind of soul murdering, you know, to not be able to have any dreams, you know, because
well,
my
I'll
future had already been laid
very
out.
Well, I'll nice about that. Your soul doesn't get murdered.
Yeah.
It goes into cold storage, and it waits. And when you are ready to warm it up and you're ready to take care of it, you can thaw it out and bring it out and you can be the astronaut you wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can go for it. It doesn't get murdered.
Mm-hmm.
It goes numb. It goes
it just
into protective
gets
custody.
That's right. We're going to thaw it out.
And that,
yeah.
I like hearing about that. I like thinking of it that
way. I do, too. I like thinking of it that way as well.
So, you know,
I see it
Joanna,
all the time
what's
in
another
practice.
Yeah, what's another guideline we can have for adult families?
Be
adult
clear about financial boundaries.
Ooh, good one.
Don't
good
assume
one,
the other will pay. Don't assume the other agrees with you. Don't assume anything about financial boundaries. Really talk about them.
Yes.
And that it's so important because as a child, of course, mother pays for everything.
Right.
And then there are some adults who still live that way. We're going to the grocery store. We're going shopping with mom. Mom's going to pay for everything. Well, when does that change?
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
When do you feel
there's a wonderful story that I believe is true, and even if it isn't, I like it, of an extraordinarily wealthy mother who told her adult daughter, I will pay for all kinds of luxuries for you, but I will not pay for one essential for you.
Oh, interesting.
Mm.
She had to pay her own rent. She had to pay her own education.
Mm-hmm.
She had to
love
buy
it.
Her own clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, mom might pay for expensive trips because she could.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But she wasn't going to let this child get dependent.
Yes.
Financially, or have those kinds of assumptions.
Wow,
I love that.
Ah, that's a great way of putting it, just right there. It's
yeah,
like, you
that's
know what?
Awesome.
Yes, and
what I did, I said I wasn't going to talk about me and my daughter, but I have to with this one.
Okay,
where
that's nice. Thank you.
She was planning a trip to Turkey, and she was going to backpack. So I'm a little nervous about this.
Yes,
but,
of course.
Okay, that's what she's going to do. She's an adult. And I listened to her. She was borrowing a backpack and figuring out where she was going to stay and how much it was going to cost. And I did nothing until she was all done. I said, are you all done? She said, yes. I said, you've got your ticket. You've gotten everything taken care of. You've got everything paid for and arranged for. And she said, yes, I am, and I'm ready to go. I said, okay, now if you will allow me, I will help you upgrade.
Oh.
And then we went through everything again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I bought her a backpack.
Uh-huh,
so she had one
cool.
with wheels.
Sweet.
And I gave her more money for the hotels yeah. that she was going to be staying at so she could go up a level.
Yes.
But I didn't
That's
do any
brilliant.
Of it.
That's
and
brilliant.
She didn't ask.
Yeah.
Until it was all taken care of on her end.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's a healthy way of dealing with money because I think so many of us grew up without feeling comfortable talking about money in our family. And there's just some
yes.
of these underlying assumptions. And the older I get and the more I'm more comfortable talking about money and financial dreams as well as budgets and appropriateness and where to do this with this and that. And I think that comes from your parents, like being taught. And so, and they have showing the example, being from the example. And so the way you've just put it, because so many parents now with the economy or jobs and so forth, the kids may not be totally on their own. But to say, hey,
no,
you pay for your essentials. Maybe I can give you
And what I see and what I
yeah.
hear is that people who have, not poor, but who have not as much money as more comfortable people financially,
mm-hmm.
will spend more
yeah.
on the prom,
oh,
will spend more
so
on the limo for the prom,
yeah.
will spend more on extras to kind of prove that everything is all right with their children.
Yes.
And to something about their own self-esteem.
Yeah.
And that's got to get, that's dangerous.
Yeah, well, I've seen that
I think
children of divorce. That is very common.
Yes.
Yes.
You've
been
a
good talk there, yeah.
You can talk to the children and say what you can afford and what you can't.
Mm-hmm. Or you know, the children can buy, you know, figure out how much, you know, in the prom is, 6 months ahead, start babysitting, start, you know, doing extra things,
that's
or
right.
start saving, and maybe I can
that's
help
right.
throw in some at the end. And if you just have that agreement way beforehand, life is so much easier. But that study,
with
I see all the
with
time.
Cars,
yes,
with all kinds of things.
Yes. And
I can I can put in this much for college tuition.
Yes.
No matter where you go.
Right.
So you can go to a state school, and this will be a lot. You can get a scholarship, and this will be a great deal. You can go to a private exclusive school, and you're not going to make it.
Mm.
This won't cover it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I just think
it's
brilliant and practical.
It gives your child freedom. It gives your child power. It makes your child think realistically about being in the world, and she'll be a better friend, not only to her mom, but to other people, too.
Mm. Well, isn't the truth?
Here's another guideline.
Yeah, please.
Once in a while, hold hands.
Hmm.
Do you ever hold hands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do.
All the time.
Isn't it nice?
It is.
You know, in Europe,
women
hold hands.
Lovely. You know, Julie spoke a little bit last year. We were writing our book, The Clutterfly Effect, and it really, like she said, it was a blessing and a curse. It really tested the relationship, and there were times that we had to say, okay, it's time to just go to the river, get out in nature, and just, you know, renew this relationship that was is so important to us, and you know,
where do you live? You go to the river.
In a van. that's that old Saturday Night Live thing. I live by the river. No, we live in northern Illinois, and we're just blessed because we're not too far from Chicago. We're like dead middle of Chicago and Iowa. But we're near a great river, and we have lots of parks around us, so we're very fortunate.
Yeah, we're really blessed to be in real nature. You know, I can look at my bedroom window and see deer and a fox and some squirrels and cardinals, and I mean it really is very healing, you know, and when we use it, we actually see it and feel it and consider it a real resource for us.
You know, and Joanna, I want to talk one more point about the holding hands, because as a girl growing up, one of the best memories I have of my grandmother was holding her hand in the car when we would drive anywhere. She would drive us around. I'd hold her hand, and you know, sometimes women, as we get older, you know, we're always like, oh, my hands look old or whatever. But I remember my grandmother's hands, of how, you know, when she got older, her hands just got so beautiful. And I don't know what it was about, but so I say, no matter how old you are, your hands are beautiful, and your daughter or your grandchild loves holding it.
Yeah,
it feels so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I do.
Well, let me talk for a minute about healing your hungry heart.
Sure, thank you.
Because it's written for women who have eating disorders, but it's being used in all kinds of ways. Each chapter ends with a series of exercises to do, and the exercises are build gradually. In increments, so that one series of exercises will make you healthier and more powerful, so that you're ready to cope with the next batch.
Mm.
On and on through the 12 chapters, and then the appendix has even more exercises to do.
Mm.
And what I'm finding is that when mothers and daughters do the exercises separately, they can share so much more richness in their conversations with each other. You know, a simple one is backtracking. I call it backtracking. And you can take anything that's an issue with you, and you can start off with something that isn't, like a piece of paper on your desk. And then you backtrack, where did it come from? Well, it came from a box. And where did that come from? A store. And then you go to the truck, and then you go to the factory, and then you go to how paper was made, and then you go to the trees, and you go to the forest, and you go to the people, and you go to the animal. You just keep going way, way back, as far back as you can. and you write it all down. And you can do that with a person. You can do it with an article of clothing. You can do it with food. You can do it with a gift. When you do it, and your daughter also does it with something that she chooses, then you start to be able to have a conversation about how you're connected to each other and how you're connected to other people and to the world and what's meaningful to you and what things you may change because you don't like where it comes from.
Oh, yes.
Or what things you may intensify because you do like where it comes from and your values come up in conversations. So it's not, the boundaries are respected, so you don't do it at the same time with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But you do it separately and then talk about it.
Mm. What a beautiful
thing. Wonderful
exercise.
Things happen.
That's
another
beautiful.
One is to take a memoir class. You know, take a class in writing a memoir. See what happens.
Great. Take a memoir class. I love that.
Yeah.
So, Julie, I think we need to wrap up. Isn't Joanne offering?
Yes. So Joanna is offering. I'm hoping I can. Is this okay to share right now, Joanna, that you are offering?
Yes.
Great. Joanna is offering two of our lovelies. Her books. She will send out two books, Healing Your Hungry Heart, Recovering from Your Eating Disorder. Now, what we're going to do this is you can email us directly at talktous@ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
Mm-hmm.
talktous@ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. And by doing that,
first come, first serve.
First come, first serve. Well, later on, after the show, a little bit later, I'm going to check my emails, and first, and I will say if there's more than two, we'll let you know. Like, oh, sorry, you're just a little too late. You know, please go to Joanna's website for her blogs and all of this great content and so forth. But Joanna is just being so generous to give out two real hardcover books. They're beautiful, Healing Your
yes.
Hungry Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
you can
you'll send
to,
me the addresses, and I
yes,
will autograph
you
them.
You bet. Yes, you bet.
Send them. It is. My website is eatingdisorderrecovery.com.
Great.
www.eatingdisorderrecovery.com. It's articles and discussion groups, and you can enter in at any time and ask a question because I see all the comments. I see everything
wonderful.
That people say.
We're so blessed and grateful that to have you on our show tonight, Joanna, and I think that it's been eye-opening. I'm sure this is we're gonna play this for Mother's Day as well, for several of our groups. So thank you so much.
Happy Mother's
and
Day,
remember,
everybody!
If you wanna
take a minute to hold hands with each other.
Yes, yes, let's hold hands. I love it. I love it. And so, thank you so much, Joanna. And again, to get her book, First Come, First Serve, giving away two free books, is talktous@ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. You can also go to theclutterflyeffect.com to learn more about us, our book, The Clutterfly Effect Weekend, happening in May, May 17th to the 21st. Awesome, awesome time. Or you can talk to us at Facebook or Twitter, Prosperity Duo. Anything else, girlfriend, I'm missing, Mama?
Nope, everything's awesome. Okay, everyone, thank you.
Have
we'll
a
see
great,
you next week.
Great week. Bye-bye.
Everybody needs a good girlfriend when the sun goes down at night. Everybody needs a good girlfriend to make the wrong seem right. Everybody needs a good girlfriend with a comforting hand to hold. Everybody needs a good girlfriend with a heart of gold.